I went online and I found a bunch of places where people had written down prayers that they had heard children saying. And so I'd like to share some of those with you. Dear God, please send a new baby for mommy. The baby you sent last week cries too much. Dear God, please help me in school. I need help in spelling, adding, history, geography, and writing. I don't need help in anything else. Dear God, I am saying my prayers for me and my brother Billy because Billy is 6 months old and he can't do anything but sleep and wet his diapers. Dear God, my mom tells me that you have a reason for everything on earth. I guess broccoli is one of your mysteries. Dear God, please make my parents understand that if I don't eat salad, I do better at school. Dear God, when will my sister stop being annoying? I'm down to my last patience. Dear God, would you make me a little brother? I want someone to boss around. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they each had their own rooms. It works out okay with me and my brother. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Dear God, I hope my dog is with you in heaven. Please take care of him. Sorry if he chews on your sandals. Dear God, please don't let it rain on Saturday. The first ball I hit will be for you. Dear God, please put another holiday between Christmas and Easter. There is nothing good in there now. Dear God, I want to be just like my daddy when I get big, but not with so much hair all over. Dear God, if you watch in church on Sunday, I will show you my new shoes. Dear God, thank you that we can come to church today, and thank you that no one got their head crushed or lost their arm on the way here. Dear Jesus, please don't come back before the next Cars movie. Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you got now? Dear God, I need a raise in my allowance. Could you have one of your angels tell my father? Thank you. Dear God, is it true my father won't get into heaven if he uses his golf words in the house? Dear God, I do not think anybody could be a better God than you. Well, I just want you to know that. I am not just saying that because you are already God. Dear God, my grandpa says you were around when he was a little boy. How far back do you go? Now, there is a lot that we can learn about God from his word when we read the Bible, but there is no way that we can fully understand and comprehend the great power and majesty and transcendence of God. And yet, even though God is so much greater than we are, he still wants to hear our prayers. The Bible talks a lot about this. I just did a simple search, and I found the word pray and its derivatives 334 times in the New American Standard Bible. And through the years of being a minister, I have found that there are many Christians who admit that they would like to have a better prayer life. Maybe you feel the same. Now, I've also found quite a few Christians who have questions about prayer. Now, there's some things that they don't fully understand. And so in these next two sermons, okay, what I would like to do is share some of those with you and try to answer some of the common questions about prayer. We'll do four this week and we'll do four next week. So let's just start with some nuts and bolts. Is there a correct posture when praying? Well, you may have heard this before. It's called the Prayer of Cyrus Brown. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and rapt and upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Slow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing toward the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Last year I fell in Hodgkin's Well, head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both my heels a-sticking up, my head a-pointing down. And I made a prayer right then and there, best prayer I ever said, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed, a-standing on my head. The answer is no. The position of one's body doesn't determine the effectiveness of the prayer. A variety of prayer positions can be found in Scripture, and you can see the Scripture reference there. Sitting, standing, kneeling, kneeling with hands stretched out, bowing, face to the ground, facing the wall, facing Jerusalem, silently moving lips, beating the breast, eyes lifted to heaven, hands spread toward heaven, lifting holy hands, and so forth. Now, in this culture, of course, we teach our children to fold their hands and to keep their eyes closed when they're praying. Now, why do we do that? Well, because closing their eyes keeps them from seeing and getting distracted by other things, and folding their hands keeps them from touching and fiddling with other things. See, out of all of our senses, the one that probably has the most opportunity to distract us when we're trying to concentrate is our seeing. The brain registers everything that our eyes see, whether good or bad. And so we've come to the conclusion in this culture that a good way to pray is to do it with eyes closed. Now, I remember one time as a little kid opening my eyes during the prayer, trying to see if there was anyone else who had their eyes opened, and then meeting the eyes of another child who was doing the same thing. And we smiled at each other, and we started making faces at each other, and consequently, we missed most of the prayer. But again, okay, the posture of one's body, that doesn't determine the effectiveness of the prayer. And the same is true of the time and place. Okay, all right, here's another common question. Does the Bible teach that we can pray to Jesus? Well, Stephen did in Acts chapter 7. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. Well, Paul did in 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. And John did in Revelation 22. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And so, yes, we have Jesus' model prayer, which was addressed to the Father, Matthew 6:9. And we normally pray to the Father through Jesus and in his name, Ephesians 5:20, Colossians 3:17. But Jesus is God, as far as we can understand. And so looking at these examples, and there are a few others, I personally don't see anything wrong with it. Some people are worried that if they don't pray just right, God won't hear them. But we do find Romans 8:26. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. All right, well, here's another question. Why is prayer so important? Well, there may be other things to consider, but basically, when communicating with God, we have the Bible, okay, God speaking to us, and we have prayer, us speaking to God. And so the first thing is that prayer is about relationship. You can't have a relationship without communication. I mean, what would happen if you came home and you didn't talk to your spouse or to anyone else in your family for the whole day? What would they think? They'd probably think that there was something really wrong, wouldn't they? Well, what is God going to think if we go a whole day without talking to Him? Communication is a vital part of any relationship. See, when you get married, you find that one of the main factors in a marriage relationship is communication. The health of the marriage will rely greatly on it. Now, in the same way, the health of our relationship with God relies greatly on our communication with Him, reading His Word and prayer. Okay, besides relationship, what other benefits are there to prayer? Well, prayer can keep us from temptation and sin. Luke 22, Jesus said to His disciples, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." In His model prayer in Matthew 6, Jesus prayed, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And that can be translated as evil or evil one. Now, I think it's just a strong way of saying that God can providentially steer us away from temptation. That is, if we ask Him. Prayer can bring great inner peace. Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter talked about casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. We should cast our burdens on the Lord and not try to bear them alone. And prayer can change things. James said, "The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." And then he gave that example about Elijah making the point that he was just a man. Now, earlier in the book, he said, "You do not have because you do not ask." So there are four of the main things: relationship, temptation, inner peace, and change. If we are going to reach spiritual maturity, which should be our goal, well, then we're going to have to follow the example of Jesus. And did Jesus ever pray? Well, Luke 11, 1. It tells us this. "It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after He had finished, one of His disciples said to Him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples.'" Now, that was not the first time that they had seen Him praying. In our Bible study at Park Meadows, we're currently going through the Gospel of Luke. And one of the themes in Luke is prayer. It's found quite a bit more than the other Gospels. So besides His teachings and His parables on prayer, I looked it up, and I found Jesus praying 15 times in that gospel. And that's saying something to me, because if Jesus needed to pray that much while He was on earth, then what about us? Now, the text doesn't tell us the motivation behind this request. Maybe they simply wanted to be recognized as one of Rabbi Jesus' disciples. I mean, it's possible that John the Baptist taught his disciples a prayer, and so when they would lead a prayer in public, they would go, "Ooh, that's one of John's disciples." And maybe that's what they wanted. But maybe this statement, "teach us to pray," came out of a different motivation. They had seen Jesus praying on many occasions, and it's possible that they recognized something that they didn't have. Maybe they saw the difference it made in His life, how He would return from praying and they could hear the renewed determination and focus in His voice. Maybe they saw the power that it gave Him to resist Satan. Maybe it had something to do with the length of His prayers. It could be like many of us, that they just fall asleep after praying for just a minute or two. But whatever it was Jesus had in His prayers, they wanted in theirs. And some people wonder about the wording, "teach us to pray," and not "teach us how to pray." Don't know. Well, you'll notice that His answer was much deeper than just a form of prayer. Now, here's a question we might ask. What are some of the reasons and circumstances in which Jesus prayed? We find Him praying before big events, like the Transfiguration, before big decisions like the selection of the apostles, to stay focused like he would when he would slip away from the crowds, before a meal, like when he was with the two disciples in Emmaus, and in a time of stress, like in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so again, if Jesus needed to pray that much, what does that say about us? I mean, it's no wonder 1 Thessalonians 4:17, the Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. But Paul, how is that possible? You know, we can't always be saying words in prayer, can we? Well, no, he obviously doesn't mean for that to be taken literally. He's talking about a lifestyle, not uninterrupted, but constantly recurring. It means that we're to make prayer a great part of our lives. It's about maintaining the good habit of frequent prayers. We've got a great example in the Old Testament with Daniel. I'm sure you remember the story. The statute had been signed by the king. It made it illegal to pray to God. But Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 says, and when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. When we come to the New Testament, we find that Paul, he frequently mentioned his own prayers. At times, he would even burst into prayer while writing. It would end up on the page. Prayer was a fundamental activity in his life, and of course, he encouraged prayer in others. For instance, Romans 12, among this list of things Christians are to be doing, Paul said, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. And after talking about putting on the full armor of God in Ephesians 6, he said, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. You see, after you put on the armor, you need to make sure to keep communication open with headquarters in the spiritual battle. I've discovered, and I'm sure you have as well, that it is very easy to get so distracted, to get so busy and distracted, even with good things, that you forget to pray. Are we just sporadic in our prayer life, or do we pray without ceasing? Now, I think most people these days, they have a computer with an internet connection. And I think an example of this pray without ceasing might be an old dial-up connection compared to a cable or DSL connection today. Because with dial-up, for those of you who remember, you had to wait for it to go through its process, making all that irritating noises. I mean, I'm going to take those noises to my grave. They'll always stick in my head. And it took a while to get on. But on the other hand, cable, DSL, or broadband mobile networks, they're always connected. You can use the internet at any time in a split second. And in the same manner, we're always to be fit and ready to approach God in prayer. There are too many people who treat prayer like one of those boxes with a break glass in case of emergency. Okay, last question for this week. What is the ACTS prayer, and should we use it? Someone might hear that and wonder if it's referring to one of the prayers in the book of Acts. And while there are some good ones, it's actually an acronym. Okay, each of the letters stands for something. And it's a model that's been around at least since the 1800s. And what it does is it breaks our prayers down into these four simple parts. And yes, I do think there is some benefit to using a prayer model like this. It can help to focus our attention. It can help to keep our prayers more well-rounded. Okay, so the A stands for adoration. Now, there is a difference between thanksgiving, which we'll get to, and adoration. Okay, they're related, but they're not identical. Think of the difference between telling someone, thank you for what you did, and telling someone, I love you. So this is our adoring God. And this is about honoring, glorifying, and magnifying him. Right, this is the praise part of our prayers. Jesus began his prayer in Matthew 6 with, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. I think it's important to make sure that we don't just, you know, we're not just barging into the throne room of Almighty God and saying, gimme, 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 I need. You remember that we find quite a bit of adoration in the Psalms. Psalm 8, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. Psalm 18. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Psalm 145. I will extol you, O God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And so adoration in our prayers is very important. I mean, isn't it wonderful when your children tell you how much they love you and appreciate you? And they tell you that, you know, they tell you when you did a good job. And I suspect God feels the same. Well, the C, okay, that's confession. This is admitting that we are sinners and admitting our sins to God. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, we read, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So, does God need us to admit our sins to know what we have done? Well, of course not. He's God. That's not what confession is about. Simply put, confession is agreeing with God. The Greek word for confess is homologeo, and it literally means to say the same thing. It's admitting that we are guilty of what we are accused of. God's word tells us and shows us that we are sinners. We must agree with God and say the same thing. And so we sin, we admit it, and we tell God that we messed up and that we're sorry. And we may not always remember, you know, or even know every one of our sins, but see, it's the attitude of admitting it when we do know or when we find out from God's word. The problem is when we know something is wrong and we go ahead and try to justify it or cover it up. I've heard it said that there are four things that confession does. It admits that there is a standard. It admits that I missed it. It is a cry for help, and it manifests a repentant attitude. And so confession is a very important part of our prayers. Parents will often see the crumbs and the chocolate on their child's hands and mouth, but they still want their child to admit that they stole a cookie from the cookie jar and to say that they are sorry. And it's been pointed out that the more honest and specific that we are when confessing our sins, the better chance that there is that we will change our behavior. We can also use this part of our prayers to ask God to reveal to us and make us aware of any sinful behavior that we haven't recognized yet. Well, all right, the T is thanksgiving. This is simply giving thanks, and we can thank God for things he's done for us in the past or for things we may have experienced or received during the day. And we find positive verses like Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then, well, we find negative verses like Romans 1:21. And not giving thanks is one of the characteristics of those who knew God, but whose foolish heart was darkened. 2 Timothy 3:2, it's included among other sins that would be prevalent in the difficult times of the last days. All right, well, Daniel, okay, along with the other Israelites, let's go back to him. They were in exile in Babylon. And yet, look what's said of his prayers in Daniel 6:10 that we looked at earlier. He continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God. I like the saying, Never allow what you don't have keep you from being thankful for what you do have. For the Christian, the blessings always outnumber and always outweigh the difficulties. See, if nothing else, in every situation, we can thank God for his salvation in Christ Jesus. May we never be like those 9 lepers in Luke chapter 17 who didn't return to thank Jesus and to praise God. Thanksgiving is a very important part of our prayers. How do you feel when you really bend over backwards for someone and you help them out and they don't even give you a simple thank you? They just act like you owe it to them. And how is God going to feel if all we ever do is ask him for things and we never thank him? You may have seen this before. What if you woke up today with only the things you thanked God for yesterday? Just something to think about. And finally, the S is supplication. And this is the asking part of our prayers, where we bring our concerns and our desires. And it may be petition for ourselves, or it could be intercession for someone else. And you know, quite a few passages that talk about praying for others. For example, Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Colossians 1:9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, and so forth. We need to be praying for our country, our community, and our church. We need to be praying for the missionaries we support. We need to be praying for individuals we know who are hurting or who need to hear the gospel. Jesus said to even pray for those who persecute or mistreat us. And so, supplication. You see, as a parent, I want my children to come to me with their requests. And I believe God feels the same. And so the next time you pray, try to remember Acts. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Again, following a model like that, it can help our focus, and it can help our attention, help to keep our prayers more well-rounded as well. And so your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to try it out for a week and to see what you think, the Acts prayer. Okay, next week, we're going to try to answer 4 more questions, some of them being on how God answers our prayers. It's been asked, can you talk to the leader of your country, your president, prime minister, king, or queen, as often as you would like and as much as you would like? Well, good luck with even getting one opportunity. And yet, there is someone who is far more powerful, far more important than any leader in any country. And guess what? You can talk to him anytime you want. The creator of the universe wants to hear our prayers. When we realize our dependence on God for all that we have, all that we are, and that he's always ready to listen to us, that should make a difference in our prayer lives. So I'd like to close with Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live.